Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Grant McCauley, where has this Matt Olson been? Let's talk about the Braves and their victory today against the Brewers, which was a series win as well. Where's this guy been?
I mean, everybody's been looking for him, but I don't think anybody's been looking any harder for this than Matt Olson has. So great to see it. You kind of needed to see it. They did a little home run history today with he and Travis d'Arnaud going back-to-back twice in the same game. We haven't seen that Braves club a whole lot, and in fact, in Braves history, that's only happened three times. So some pretty incredible stuff going on, and great to see Matt Olson in the middle of it. And as we've talked about time and again, no matter what you went out and got at the trade deadline, and even if you got a couple of bats going, you needed Matt Olson to start flexing his muscle, making his presence known in the middle of that Braves lineup. And we may finally be seeing that because this road trip had quite a few encouraging moments for him.
Yeah, last time we had those back-to-back jacks by the same two players, you mentioned it was a 98, Javi Lopez and Andrew Jones, man, that's just amazing. Hey, the pitching, you know, it was not like Sale had his best stuff, but he found a way to grind it against a really good hitting Brewers team. I thought, last night, and again, we can go round and round about, you know, the pitching's there. I mean, if Fried can show out this weekend against the Marlins and show that he's back to being 100%, all of a sudden, if I'm up in Philadelphia, Grant, I think I'm getting a little tight around the collar. 6.5 back, they got to go play Seattle on the road.
Yeah, and things have been a little bit tough for the Phillies here lately, too. And we knew at some point they were going to run into that part of their schedule where some things weren't going to go their way. As good as that team is, and this is not me explaining to you how they were all propped up and the house of cards is going to come down. I don't think that it is. I think that they're much better than that. But the 162 has a lot of peaks and valleys for every team. It's just kind of felt like the Braves have been wandering through that valley a lot more than Philadelphia has. But, you know, with respect to that, the Mariners are a tough pitching club. They're a team that can certainly give an offense fits, but has Seattle done enough again in its lineup to really put the hurting on the Philadelphia Phillies in the series? We'll find all of that out. But, yeah, this is a good time for the Braves to take 4 out of 5. You kind of have to wonder in some ways, and I know it doesn't work this way, but what if the Braves had just been able to split those 6 games rather than losing 6 in a row last week? What would the division look like then? Now you have the Marlins rolling into town who just got done selling off a lot of their parts. What is this weekend going to look like for Atlanta? You hope it's going to be a series win. You kind of get greedy. You want that series sweep against a club like that. And then you're going to have the Philadelphia Phillies in the not-too-distant future for a head-to-head matchup. Things could get interesting. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. But these were the signs, the encouraging things that you needed to see from the Braves, if nothing else, in a vacuum, to feel like they're heading in the right direction.
Soler didn't get a hit today. He did draw a walk. It's something that Snit talked about, Grant. Talk about this a little bit. His patience at the plate is why they love him in the leadoff spot, right?
Yeah, and Alex Anthopoulos said yesterday, I mean, we obviously know the power that Jorge Soler has, and that's going to be his calling card, his carrying trade, if you will. But he has shown a good ability this year to work counts and to get on base. And that's why he ended up back at the top of the order as one of the most unorthodox leadoff hitters that you'll find, because he's not a stolen base threat. That's not really a thing he does. But he puts immediate pressure on the opposing pitcher, because if you make a mistake, it could go 450 feet or further, depending on how far that one in the World Series went. Or he could draw a walk and just start to energize the rest of the lineup. And the Braves have needed somebody up there to do that kind of thing. It has been a struggle and a half since Ronald Acuna Jr. went down. There's no replacing Ronald, but finding what I would regard as maybe the next best thing is something that could mean a lot to this Braves club. And an on-base guy at the top of the order, a consistent one, was certainly something they needed to get at the trade deadline, and it looks like they've done that.
I know that Sean Murphy is Grant. McCauley joins us, guys, in the WaitForIt.com hotline. We're live at Mall of Georgia Hooters. Murph, I think, was 3 for 9 the last 3 games. But d'Arnaud, I know d'Arnaud can kind of be streaky, sneaky good. I'd love to keep little D in there for a while. I mean, what's your take on Murph? Is Murph coming out of it, or is this just another one of these bad patches?
No, I think there's been some encouraging stuff from him, too. I mean, hitting the ball hard is what you really needed to see, and Sean Murphy does that really consistently. And the same can be said for Matt Olson. I mean, there's a batted ball component in there that hasn't been on their side as far as luck is concerned, but the strikeouts have crept in at times. And, you know, obviously, Olson and Murphy, there's different expectations for each of these guys, but they're big parts of what the Braves are doing when things are going right. But I'm kind of with you, Mike, where a lot of folks will look and say, okay, well, why don't you bring Sean Murphy over here if you're going to keep putting Travis d'Arnaud in and feeding playing time away? But how many teams across baseball would love to have a catcher like Sean Murphy, and a second catcher, if you want to call him that, because I'm not going to call him a backup, but a second catcher like Travis d'Arnaud. I mean, this is the situation that most teams would love to find themselves in. And Travis d'Arnaud can deliver. He can do things like he did today. He went on that home run binge earlier this season. He's right. Just too productive of a player and valuable of a player to relegate him to catching once or twice a week.
It is Grant McCauley, guys. We talk about the Braves. All right, real quick, you said it. Marlins come in here. Don't want to be too cocky, but I think you can kind of, you know, get into, all right, this is what the lineup's going to look like moving forward, maybe allowing guys to be a little bit more comfortable. What's the rotation look like? Do we know at this point, Grant, who and when on Friday, still, Saturday, Sunday?
They're still kind of doing the day-to-day as far as the Max Fried and the Ronaldo Lopez component of it. We will see Spencer Schwellenbach in this series, though. That's a plus. Charlie Morton's going to get the ball in this series. If you can throw those four and the Braves offense kind of wakes up and they've hit better at Truist Park, they've played better at home. That's been one of the other struggles for the Braves, has been their record on the road. But going home against a favorable opponent with potentially four of your top starters there, Chris Sale taking care of his business here in the finale against the Brewers, things could kind of line up. And I will say, and I know we talked about it some yesterday, the encouragement that the Braves had to have felt with the news on both Max Fried and Ronaldo Lopez to not feel the pressure to go out and get another starting pitcher, that would feel like to me to be an indicator that even if these guys don't throw this weekend, they've got to be close.
And I know we always ask about Ian Anderson. How many more starts is he going to have in the minors where you really think about Ian Anderson maybe being up here?
I think that as the Braves do this whole bridge to get the extra days for Lopez and for Chris Sale, kind of, I think, as a secondary pursuit at this point, it really for Lopez feels like it's more of a necessity. You could see Ian Anderson getting in that mix. I think A.J. Smith-Shawver could be in that mix as well. Now that they've been able to clear the five-inning hurdle, the 80-pitch count in Gwinnett, it's really just when the Braves feel like they're best set up. I think Ian's velocity has been kind of low 90s with the fastball. It's touching 94, which is about where he was pre-surgery, so that's a good thing to see. And you know, he's just got to get the curveball or the breaking ball, I think, a little bit more rounded out. So it's knocking the rust off. It's getting the reps back. I think the changeup is always going to be a weapon for him. It's one of the best out pitches in the Braves system. If he gets himself comfortable and the Braves see some good results down there in Gwinnett, it really, any time is kind of the answer to the Ian Anderson question. Whenever they feel like they can set him up for success and they need somebody to come up and cover some innings.
Great stuff, Grant. Good job. We'll talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
Look forward to it. Thanks, guys.